My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I recently had a discussion with one of my church members down in Muncie. We were discussing our congregation's evangelism efforts and what we could do, in his words, to produce better results. He seemed to be lamenting the fact that we really didn't have anything to attract people to our church. It got me thinking that, well, there really isn't a whole lot to see at Grace Lutheran in Muncie, Indiana. I mean, you know as well as I do what attracts people. If we had big miracles, really big miracles going on down there, people being healed of their diseases, demons being cast out, people speaking and babbling in strange tongues, well, now that would be something to see, wouldn't it? If the power of God, the Spirit of God, were just more visible there, well, it would be very easy then to say to people, like Philip says to Nathanael, come, come and see. If only we had marriage building, child rearing, or stock investing classes, retirement seminars, or how to deal with this or that addiction, then we'd have something to see. Or if we had all of that impressive technology like laser light shows and Dolby sound, such things would make it easy to ask people to come and see. But we don't have any of those things in Muncie. In fact, what we have there is downright embarrassing in this religiously powerful, technologically sophisticated age in which you and I live. We don't have a theology of glory that parades God's majesty and might before his people. We have a theology of the cross. We preach Christ and him crucified. And as often as we celebrate the Holy Communion, we proclaim the Lord's death. What people are eager to come and see isn't a God who dies pitifully and weakly on a cross, but a God who is mighty and big and powerful. Not a God who reigns from a cross, but a God who comes down off of that cross in a mighty, powerful way and a victory that's apparent to all. That's what people want to come and see. People want impressive technology, not simple biblical theology. They flock to the latest gizmos and gadgets by which man does things, while smiling all the while at the rather simple ways that God works through water, words, bread, and wine. Asking people to come and see the Almighty God working in those rather ordinary things is, well, it's just plain embarrassing. There's just nothing to see. The first disciples of Christ, they were faced with a problem very similar to ours. The Jesus they had to invite people to come and see was no more inviting, no more compelling, no more powerful, no more sophisticated than the Jesus who comes among us today in holy baptism, holy absolution, and holy communion. Whether God wraps himself in flesh and blood, in bread and wine, or water and words, he can easily be despised, can't he? Despised as ordinary, nothing worthy of coming and seeing. And so the temptation that we face then is to dress up this ordinary Jesus, make Jesus into what the world wants him to be, glorious and powerful and granting health and wealth and the latest technology to his followers. We can despise the God who comes weakly to us in water and words and bread and wine in favor of a God who brings, well, his powerful feelings and emotions among us. We can turn away from a God who comes to bring us forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation, and in favor of a God who brings good feelings about self, a better marriage, or a prosperous life. And that is, in the end, exactly what the devil would have us do. But this ordinary Jesus is the one who really cares for, the one who really knows the people that you and I are asking. In this age of impersonal computers and personless communication and companies knowing all about you but not knowing you at all, the fact that Jesus knows his sheep is something worth coming and seeing. The God that we are inviting people to come and see is not far away, but he's here in flesh and blood, in water that we can touch, in words that we can hear, and in bread and wine that we eat and drink. We can invite people to come and see this Jesus for whom heaven is open and whom the angels of God ascend and descend. That means where Jesus is in baptism, in absolution, in communion. There you will find heaven wide open and the ministry of angels, even for sinners. People need to know that there is such a place on earth. Don't you see? It is the same today, really. The same today as it was in Jesus' day. Heaven is shut, it's closed to sinners. Only if you have enough love, enough faith, enough good works, only then can you be sure of going to heaven. Heaven is only open to those who are clean enough or religious enough or sure enough. People do not know of a place on earth where heaven is wide open to sinners. They don't know of a place where sins are freely and constantly carried away from sinners. They do not know of a place that invites sinners with heavy burdens. But we do. We do. The truth is, Jesus doesn't need bodies to fill his pews. Nowhere in the New Testament today will you find this notion of fear that haunts the church. If we don't get more members, we'll die. The church die? Get real. The church is the bride of Christ. She is as deathless as the groom. And so we invite others to come and see Jesus, not for the church's sake, not for Jesus' sake, but for their sake. Jesus, the groom, preserves and he protects his bride through all of the changes and the chances and the problems of this life. And a Jesus who does that, is very much worth coming and seeing. In Jesus' name.